glorious God, we are happy tonight that we can be together and sing of your love to us, a love which originated in your heart from eternity, a love which was profoundly within the bounds of the Trinity itself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a love that led you then to send your Son to this earth to die for us, and a love with which you even love us now and will forever. Such love indeed gives us joy. We pray tonight that we know something of that joy, even as your Holy Spirit would make known to us again your gracious love to each of us. We pray then for hearts to praise you and to thank you and to be aware of the presence of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you will dispel every doubt and discouragement and grant that we will find ourselves caught up in this wonder of love that is yours to us tonight. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The next hymns will be from the Christian hymnal, and hymn number 801, first of all, Christian hymns 801. This morning we looked at 2 Peter and saw how God multiplies to us grace and peace. And the song we're going to sing right now is about that grace that he multiplies to us. And then we'll sing a song about the peace that he gives to us. 801 from the Christian hymns. He giveth more grace. Said this morning that the essence of peace is to know that all is well. And that's what this hymn is about. Through the love of God, our Savior, all will be well. 592. This morning from 2 Peter, we saw how grace and peace comes to us in connection with our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The better we know Jesus, the more we experience that grace and peace multiplied to us. Well, this prayer of the Apostle, which begins in verse 14, is one that we've looked at often and in some depth at one point, but I'm going to read it tonight because of the emphasis there is here on knowledge, the knowledge of the love of Christ, the knowledge of love itself, a knowledge of Jesus that leads us even to experience the grace and peace of which we spoke this morning. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We might say in verse 18 that word comprehend has to do with our understanding. Understanding all we need to understand about God and his love and our relationship to him. Understanding the width, the length, the depth and height. But there in verse 19, it's a knowledge of experience to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. We know intellectually, we know mentally that we are loved. But to know the love of Christ by experience, that's what the Holy Spirit is in us to do. And may that be what each of us experiences, this love of Christ which passes knowledge. Let us pray. Gracious Father, this prayer is ours tonight. We are so very conscious of our need to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man. Deep down in the depths of our being, we need strengthening. Without this spiritual strength, we could not comprehend the truth about you or about your love for us. Neither could we experience then the love of Jesus Christ to our souls, which passes knowledge. We pray then that each of us would have this spiritual strengthening within us, even to know the love of Jesus. We thank you that you love us so much that you want us to experience your very love. And may that be the case for each of us, even tonight. And as we go on experiencing this love of yours, may we grow in love for one another and even for the world. And may it have evangelistic effects as we go out from this place to tell people there is a God in heaven who out of love sent his Son to save them. May there be many who will come then savingly to Jesus, we do pray. We also ask for everyone here tonight who may have a burden that they've brought with them, a burden too heavy sometimes even seem to bear, but a burden that you can lift, a burden which is something that's even inexpressible, and yet one that you know about. We pray for each one tonight. Lift the burdens. We pray that you'll deliver us from discouragements. We pray that you might, in this knowledge of the love of Jesus, give joy to our hearts. We pray that we might have every comfort from your Spirit, even during this hour, and then on in the days ahead. We pray, too, that you might equip us for the work that has to be done in this world, much to be done for Jesus. May we be his glad and willing servants to do whatever you give us to do for him. We thank you for this gathering tonight. We thank you that you've brought your people together to worship you. And we also pray that every time we meet, we might be so very conscious of the presence of the Lord Jesus with us. Bless our church then. Grow us in love one for another and for you. And we pray that we might continue to be the people that you desire us to be, even more so as you would revive us by your Spirit. And this we pray, thanking you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now finally, again from the Christian hymns, number 672. O Lord my God, how great thou art. 672. Thank you. Again, as we did last evening, John chapter 17 in the Pew Bible, page 958, John 17, and we'll read verse 18 through 26. We read it this morning, and we'll look at it tonight a little more closely. John 17 and verse 18. Hear the word of God. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. May God bless his word to us tonight. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we surely have a need to understand the words that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke. And these words that we've just read are words that he spoke to you. And as we look at them this evening, we pray that our hearts will be open to receive the truth that is here about him and about you and about ourselves. And we pray that we might be greatly encouraged And we pray that we might even be drawn heavenward, and that we might know something of this wonderful presence of Jesus, and also of the great joys that are ours in him, and the spiritual realities for which we live and which we will enjoy forever. So help us, we pray, even as we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember last week, we looked at a portion of this great discourse, the Upper Room Discourse, as it is called, from John chapter 13 through John 17, where Jesus speaks to his disciples shortly before going to the cross. And this section is packed with truth, much of it very difficult for us to unravel. And there are statements in here that are difficult to understand. But what's easy to understand is what we looked at last week from chapter 15, and that is the fact that Jesus loves you and me. And the greatest thing about you and me is that Jesus loves us. And we saw that from chapter 15. We also noticed how love is a major theme in this discourse. 30 times Jesus mentions love. And that is more than any other section in any other part of the Gospels. And here's Jesus before he goes to the cross, speaking of love. Last week it was his love for us. And now as we look at John 17, as he prays to the Father, it's love on even a grander scale, we might say, which I hope to show you tonight. We're going to look then at love from the perspective of Jesus from John 17 as he prays to his Father. And the first aspect of this love is this: Jesus is loved by the Father. Look at verse 23 where he says, "I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Notice that phrase at the end of verse 23, "as you have loved me." And then in verse 24 where he says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." Notice that phrase at the end of verse 24, "you loved me." And then verse 26, "I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." Notice the phrase at the end of verse 26, "you loved me." Here is Jesus praying to his Father shortly before going to the cross. And what he prays is that he is conscious of being loved by his Father. This is important to him. Three times at the end of this prayer, this concludes the activities of that Thursday evening where the Lord's Supper was given to them and where these great truths were presented to them, and where Jesus prays to his Father, and where he shortly is to be betrayed. This prayer ends by Jesus speaking about love and the love that his Father has for him. "You loved me," he says three times. And this is not a new theme to Jesus, though it is really taken up in a large measure in these chapters. Back in chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, "The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does." The Father loves the Son. And in chapter 10 and verse 17, he said this, "My Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." And there are those statements in the other Gospels. There he is at the baptism and the descending dove and the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So here is Jesus at the end of his ministry, acknowledging that the Father loves him, acknowledging it in a way that is very important to him, because Jesus is conscious of being loved Jesus here, as he prays to his Father shortly before enduring the suffering of Gethsemane and the betrayal of a disciple and the flogging and the intensity of pain that was to be his shortly, he's conscious of being loved. Now, this consciousness of being loved is something that you and I can understand. Isn't it that which makes life worthwhile for us? The consciousness that we are loved, whether it's the love of husband and wife or the love of parents and children, the love that the children receive from parents, or whether it's the love of friends, the love of brothers and sisters in Jesus. Isn't this what makes love a life worthwhile? The consciousness of love. And I would say this to you tonight, that if you were not conscious of being loved, you'd hardly want to live. Isn't that true? If you didn't know that at least somebody loves you, how could you even desire to live? But here is a consciousness of being loved that Jesus himself experienced. And in this, we have something in common with Jesus. Jesus experienced this consciousness of being loved by his Father. We experience then the consciousness of being loved by God as well, but also by others. And it's what makes life worthwhile, this consciousness of being loved. So Jesus is conscious of being loved by the Father. And it's so important to him that he mentions it three times in his prayer. But also I want you to see tonight from this passage that love is the essence of the nature and being of God. Or I should say it is of the essence, because there's a lot that goes into what we call the essence of the nature and being God. But love certainly is part of that essence. Because look what he says in verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me, that where I am they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Notice what he says. You loved me before the foundation of the world. Now understand that this love of the Father for the Son is not something that's connected merely to Jesus in his incarnate humanity. That's very important for you to grasp. This consciousness of Jesus being loved by his Father is not something merely connected to Jesus in his incarnate humanity. There are some who might think so. There are some who look at the baptism and they say, when the dove descended and the voice of the Father came to him, the Father is registering his approval of his Son for his Son's obedience, and he loved him as his incarnate servant. But it goes beyond that. It goes before that. Because Jesus says, you loved me before the foundation of the world. It was prior to his incarnation. It was prior even to the creation of the world. Jesus was loved by the Father. And you must grasp this, because there are some who would have us think that this love relationship between the Father and Son was only something that existed after the incarnation, as God looks at his Son in the flesh. He's a man now. So as God loves men, he loves his incarnate Son. No, it's something that existed from eternity. You loved me, he says, before the foundation of the world. In other words, this love is part of the essence of who God is. And it's part of his nature and his being. Before there were men and women, even in existence, there was love, inter-Trinitarian love. The Father for the Son for the Father, and the Spirit for the Father and the Son. There was love existing from eternity. I remember reading a poem when I was a very young man, and I thought it was very clever. God stepped out on space, and he said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And the poem describes how God created the world. Listen, that's pure sentimental rubbish. Because God was never lonely. It's impossible for God to have ever experienced loneliness because within those holy bonds of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we call the Trinity, there was always and forever love. Love, then, is part of the essence of who God is. It's part of the essence of His nature and His being. That's why John could tell us in his epistle twice that God is love. He wants us to see it then as part of the very nature of the Godhead. So Jesus says, "You loved me before the foundation of the world." And so we conclude this. Love is not merely a human emotion. Sometimes we think that. Sometimes we think that God is beyond love or even beyond emotion. And we say that whenever God speaks of love, God so loved the world, He's speaking anthropomorphically. He's speaking in a way that we can understand. He's condescending to our concepts and our experiences and our language. But that simply is not true. Love is connected with deity. It's not a mere human emotion. We love, we're told in the Epistle of John, we love because He first loved us. There would be no love for you and me to experience were it not that there's love within the Godhead. So it is wrong for us to think that to speak of the love of God is somehow merely anthropomorphic language. It is not. It is part of the essence of deity. So Jesus says, "You loved me before the foundation of the world." And then something else we learn. Not only that Jesus is loved by His Father and conscious of it, joyfully conscious of it. Not only that this love is of the essence of the nature and the being of God, but we learn also that Jesus is very willing for this love to be shared. And isn't that true of the best of human love? We're willing for it to be shared. Of course, there is some love that is special and not to be shared. There is a love between husbands and wives, which is very, very special. But even then, there's a willingness for that love on one level to be shared with others. We don't hold back. We have a love one for another. And the love that we experience is a love that we want to share. And this was the same with Jesus. He was willing for that love to be shared, this love of the Father for Him. He was willing for it to be shared. And we find He was willing for it to be shared in two ways. First of all, He was willing for this love to be shared by His Father toward us. Now, I want you to read with me one of the most profound statements in all of Scripture. I don't think you'll find a more profound statement anywhere from Genesis to Revelation, and I mean that, than what we have in verse 23. Because look what he says. 23. "I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Do you see the profundity of that statement? You have loved them as you have loved me. One commentator says that this is a breathtakingly extravagant statement. And it is. It's breathtakingly extravagant for Jesus to say that His Father loves you and me like He Himself is loved by the Father. Breathtakingly extravagant. It seems to transcend all propriety. We stammer at it. We balk at it. It cannot be. It should not be that the Father should love you and me like He loves His own Son. We would not have dared ever even to think this on our own. It would seem to be irreverent, if not entirely blasphemous. If we had simply on our own thought up a love of the Father for you and me that's like the love he has for a son, it would sound blasphemous. But it is so. The Father loves you and me like he loves his son. It's almost embarrassing. We're almost ashamed of it at first. It's at the very least awkward for us to think that we, who are sinful creatures, should be loved with a love that's like the love of the Father for a son. And some might try to escape the awkwardness of it by distinguishing philosophically between love in kind and love in degree. So someone might say, when Jesus says that the Father loved them as he loved me, he's merely speaking about a love in kind. It's a similar kind of love, but not love to the same degree. How could it ever be that the Father could love you and me as sinful creatures to the same degree he loves the Son? But we are not permitted any such distinctions, because the statement simply stands there in all its profundity. He says to us, in this prayer as we're listening, he says to us, Father, you have loved them as you have loved me. And so Jesus is willing for this love of the Father to be shared with us. Isn't that profound? And isn't that so very gracious? But he's also willing for it to be shared in our own consciousness. Because look at verse 26. He says, I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me, there it is again, the love with which you loved me, may be in them and I in them. He says, I want this love that you have for them to be in them. In other words, he wants us to be conscious of it. He wants you and me to be conscious of the fact that we are loved by the Father, even as he loves his own Son. And so in Romans 5, the Apostle tells us that hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. And the Holy Spirit makes us aware of this love. Now, all of this, interestingly enough, has evangelistic implications. Jesus is praying in this prayer for his 11 disciples. He's praying for you and me as those who would believe in him through the word of the apostles. But he also prays for the world. Look what he says in verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. The Father sent the Son into the world that the world might be saved. And now Jesus sends his disciples into the world that they might tell the world the gospel, and that the world might be saved. And then he says in verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. What is the great statement of the gospel? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. From this very gospel, the Father sent the Son. That's the essence of the gospel. And Jesus says that the world is going to believe that. The world will believe the gospel when they sense the oneness that there is in his people, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And he's saying here that it is the will of the Lord Jesus that there be such unity among us as believers in Jesus, such a unity that is like the unity that exists between the Father and Son, so that the world may believe that the Father sent the Son. And there's something about the observance by the world of the unity of the people of God, the unity and love of those who love Jesus, that makes them believe the gospel. Isn't that profound? That those out there who have not yet come to faith in Jesus Christ, they have not yet embraced the gospel, they may, as they observe us, loving one another in this very profound and divine unity. The wonder Paul prays in Ephesians 4, that we might maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And may it be so in this congregation, that we will always maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that the world may look at us and the world may see that there's something divine here, and there's something at work here that is supernatural, because the love we have one for another and the unity that we experience together comes from the Father who loves the Son, the Father who sent the Son. It's all evangelistic. And then look what he says in verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me. There it is again. Only now the unity leads not merely to believing that the Father sent the Son, which is the essence of the gospel, but that they might know it, that there might be real conviction about it, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And in this unity of love and purpose that we experience as the people of God together, even that will lead them beyond even the elementary grasping of the gospel, but to enter somewhat into the profundity of the love that the Father has for you and me, which is like the love he has for his own Son. And so this entire prayer then has evangelistic implications and evangelistic overtones. Jesus is concerned for the world. After all, he came from heaven to earth that the world might be saved. After all, he went to a cross as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And here he is, when he prays to his Father shortly before going to that cross, shortly before becoming the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, he prays to his Father about the world. And the world is on his heart. And his concern, even today, even this very moment, is that the world of Hicksville and the neighborhoods that you live in and this whole world where Christians gather in North America and South America and Asia and Africa, all over this world where Christians gather, the world will look on and see such love and unity as will convince them of the truth of the gospel. Do you see how important it is that we love each other? Do you see how important it is that we maintain unity? Do you see how important it is that we be the people we're called to be? Because by being that, and by loving one another, and by caring for one another, and by this unity that we experience, by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, the world can be saved, and men and women can be convinced of the truth of the gospel. And God grant that it will happen. God grant that we'll tell the gospel. God grant that we'll pray for people to be saved. But God grant that we'll grow in such love and unity one for another that the world around us will look on and say, the gospel is real. It's true. The Father did send the Son as the Savior of the world. And I want to be saved. May God so use each of us as individuals. And may God so use our congregation. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we can hardly speak these words that you love us like you love your Son. And were it not revealed to us from the lips of the Lord Jesus, we probably would not believe it. But we thank you for the revelation of it. And we pray that we might bask in the sunshine of such love. We tonight might be encouraged, no matter what we have experienced of human love, sometimes so exhilarating, other times so disappointing. Yet we are loved by the Father, even as He loves His own dear Son. And this Son loves us so much that He wants us to be with Him together forever. And may this love with which we are loved be that which we will experience. And may it be something that the world will notice. And as they observe it, may they come to faith in Jesus. We do give you thanks tonight, even as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll close tonight with the favorite hymns. Favorite hymns, number 465. Love with everlasting love. That's what these passages in John 17 were about. May we bask in it tonight together. 465 favorite hymns. Thank you. Father, we would pray tonight to be conscious of this love of yours for us, this everlasting love. And we pray that as we indeed experience it by your Holy Spirit in our hearts, that we would love you more and love one another with such profound love that the world will see and come to Jesus. We commit ourselves to you tonight, anew and afresh, that we might pursue this love and that we might be all that you'd have us to be in this world. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide. Amen.